The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. Let's jump in with this one from Magnolia, The First Days of Fall. The early days of this new season, as high temperatures stubbornly refuse to drop and different rhythms aren't quite in full swing, are a blurry line between what was once summer and what is now fall. It oftentimes is on us to take matters into our own hands and nudge the young season along into all it's meant to be. Fall tends to introduce itself with a delicate subtlety, as summer, with its long and carefree hot days, pleads its case for why it should stay. Fall clears its throat and begins to propose new rhythms and dappled light and baked goods. What begins as a timid suggestion to bring along a light sweater eventually turns into a fanfare of all this beloved season holds, rich colors that crunch underfoot, and the smell of cinnamon in the warm glow of a bonfire, and pumpkin patches and cozy blankets, and stovetop soup and crowded tables filled with laughter. These familiar moments might border on cliché, but the truth is that we need them. We need to feel and experience them to help us remember our place in time. We are hardwired for the changing seasons, for the shift of mindset that comes when one fades into the next. The turning pages of a calendar serve as a sort of signpost for us, carrying us along and pointing to what's ahead. Which is why, in the early days when fall isn't quite ready for its grand entrance, there are things we can do to help usher it in. Anticipating the shift, as our coffee shop order changes from a cold brew to a hot latte, the spontaneity of summer is slowly channeled into a more rhythmic schedule. We, too, experience a familiar shift inside us. What was a sort of blissful chaos is now a more focused intentionality, and we can feel it. We are more settled, more oriented. We know the holidays are just around the corner, and that, all too quickly, the year will be over. But we're not there yet. There is something peaceful about this moment in time, the in-between of unstructured summer and the busyness of winter, when we can breathe deeply, soak in the new season, and look ahead to what is to come. Setting the mood. Our home is a reflection of the changes happening within us, and the changes happening within us are a reflection of our home. Even before the temperature outside begins to drop, there is much we can do to usher in the season within the walls of our home. We can light sandalwood candles, spin vibey records, and bake something with cinnamon. We can give our morning coffee a splash of pumpkin creamer and hang cardigans on our entryway hooks. We can fill vases with tones of wheat, umber, and plum, and add extra blankets to the back of the sofa, in hopeful anticipation that the outside world will soon match the autumnal atmosphere we've created inside our home. Settling into rhythms. Before we know it, the shift in our mindset and the changes we've made in our home will begin to seep into our everyday life. We'll exchange beach days for hayrides and swimsuits for cardigans, and it will all feel so right. We'll get giddy over things like new school supplies and to-do lists, and before long we'll be able to actually feel fall in the air. That's when it will hit us. This is the feeling we were waiting for all along. And inviting others in. There is something very human about the changing of seasons, the passing of time together. How we all, in one way or another, experience these same things year after year. So as we welcome these first days of fall, we make sure to bring others along with us. We bake and bundle pumpkin bread to leave at our neighbors' doors. We write words of encouragement to loved ones who are starting new chapters, new schools, new jobs, and we remind ourselves that we're not alone, that we can embrace this new season together. From Good Housekeeping, The Cleaning Lab. Question, how can I keep my deck clean and ready for dining and entertaining? And their answer, regular care is key to keeping outdoor spaces guest-ready this time of year. Sweep your deck often with a stiff-bristled outdoor broom to remove leaves, webs, and loose dirt before it builds up. With the broom, loosen stuck-on stuff, like dried mud or bird droppings, then wipe the spot with a cleaning wipe or a wet paper towel to minimize staining. Don't forget to give furniture and deck rails a brushing, too. For a deeper clean, my colleague Dan DiClerio, Good Housekeeping's Home Improvement and Outdoor Director, recommends a mid-season pressure wash. If your deck is made of composite, check the manufacturer's cleaning advice before you begin to avoid damage. Dan likes the Ryobi 2300 PSI brushless electric pressure washer, starting at $299 at Home Depot. It comes with an onboard detergent tank that makes applying deck cleaner easy. After cleaning, rinse it thoroughly with fresh water from the pressure washer. Always start on a low setting to get a broad, gentle spray, saving concentrated blasts for problem spots. You can also use a garden hose, but you'll need to apply a separate cleaner and scrub stains with a brush. And another question, got any tips for zapping trash can odors? Answer, I do. A few of the biggest culprits for odors are meat, fish, and onion and veggie peels. If you can't compost, though new pickup services are popping up across the country, wrap the foods before tossing them in the can. I use a plastic produce bag or a piece of foil or plastic wrap I'm already discarding to contain these messes. I also rinse off disposable meat trays, try to keep spoiled foods or old leftovers in a separate spot, and clearly marked in the refrigerator or freezer till garbage collection day. Finally, sprinkle baking soda into the can, or tuck an air deodorizer like Good Housekeeping Seal Star Febreze Small Spaces under the trash bag for non-stop odor control. From Better Homes and Gardens, a new leaf. Garden trends move fairly slowly. After all, plants take time to grow. These themes are inspiring our gardens right now. First, gravel gardens. Gardeners are embracing the humblest of materials, gravel. It's stylistically versatile, as at home in a desert landscape as in a classic Tuscan-inspired garden. Gravel also provides neutral canvas for spotlighting plants like the sedge boxwood and lamb's ears. And as a low-cost and almost zero-maintenance material, it's as practical as it gets. Social front yards. For decades, a bright green lawn and tidy flower beds were the front yard blueprint. But with the pandemic, many people began thinking beyond mere curb appeal. As people craved interaction with friends and neighbors, the front yard became the place to be. As a result, gardeners have been turning these spaces into hangout zones, adding fire pits, lounge areas, dining spots, little libraries, and even bocce courts. Focus on foliage. Flowers will never go out of fashion, but we're seeing an uptick in interest around dramatic leaf shapes and textures. Done right, a garden that's full of greenery can feel fresh and calming. Plus, its beauty isn't fleeting. A foliage-centric garden can look as good in February as it does in August. The key to creating a dynamic look is combining plants with different forms and shades. For example, you can offset feathery ferns with more structured agave and yucca plants. Native plants. Bees love them, butterflies love them, and increasingly so do gardeners. Native plants, defined as those that grow in the wild of a particular region, are being embraced as the sensible, sustainable landscaping choice. Because they're naturally adapted to the weather and soil of their area, natives tend to require little maintenance to thrive. They provide food and habitat to wildlife, and as a garden designer says, having natives in a garden gives it a sense of place. And last, starring vegetables. For many gardeners, growing vegetables, herbs, and fruit has gone from a corner of the yard hobby to the backyard's main event. Kitchen gardens are often a focal point, whether gardeners are stringing lights around their raised beds or placing seating within an arm's reach of fragrant basil plants and prized tomatoes. We can also do squash fruits dangling like golden ornaments if you do an overhead kind of design for the squash vine to climb on. From Good Housekeeping, updated developmental markers for kids. Are the recently released CDC guidelines actually helpful? Heads up for parents. Earlier this year, the CDC revised the milestones it uses to help caregivers track children's development for the first time since they were created in 2004. These markers are used to make sure children are hitting goals like rolling from tummy to back, which babies can typically do by 6 months, saying mama or dada, or another special word for a caregiver, by 12 months, or clapping when excited, 15 months. With these revisions, the CDC has streamlined the milestones to make them easier to understand and added checklists for a few ages. Markers are now laid out for every well-child checkup from 2 months through 5 years. But the biggest change is that the revised milestones are ones most children would be expected to achieve by the specified age. Before, the milestones represented what about half of children typically achieved by each age. Now they represent what at least three-fourths of children achieve by each age. That was said by Emily Edlin, E-D-L-Y-N-N, Ph.D., child clinical psychologist and author of the blog The Art and Science of Mom and the upcoming book Parenting for Autonomy. This may have the benefit of saving parents from unnecessary grief. With the previous version of the checklist, when a child didn't reach a milestone, a wait-and-see approach was often used anyway, Edlin says, since half the kids that age hadn't reached the milestone. But the holding pattern could be worrisome to parents, who just had to sit tight and see if their kids would pick up the skill on their own or if intervention was needed. Now that worry is lessened, but some children's delays may not be caught as early as they would have given the previous guidelines. The American Speech-Language Hearing Association is concerned about the possible risk of language delays being missed based on the new checklist. Still, the CDC emphasizes that the milestones are just one tool for keeping track of a child's development. These checklists are meant to guide, but not to screen or evaluate, Edlin says. If you have a concern about your child's development, bring it up with your pediatrician, whether or not it's on the checklist. From Good Housekeeping, Safe Home Water Check. This simple and effective testing kit can help you assess whether your drinking water contains a concerning level of dissolved lead. It's the Safe Home DIY Lead in Drinking Water Test Kit, available on Amazon for $22. Why it earned the Good Housekeeping seal? Our chemists were impressed with the Safe Home DIY test kit's ability to accurately flag whether your home's drinking water contains high levels of dissolved lead, according to EPA guidelines for municipal water sources. One, it's easy to use. Good Housekeeping experts noted that the test kit has very clear, step-by-step instructions with helpful reference images. At-home testers gave the process high marks, too. It made testing my water fun, like doing a science project, said one. It was easy to use and did not require a lot of active time, said another. Two, quick results. Testers in our consumer group unanimously reported that the kit provided them with speedy results. The test is complete in as little as 10 minutes. I've used other home test kits that weren't as easy to follow, nor as fast in giving clear results, said one at-home tester. 3. Proven accuracy. Safe Home has built nearly 40 years of experience and consumer trust in the water quality testing business. Our experts reviewed the company's quality assurance procedures and found them robust. Good Housekeeping chemists feel confident that the tests will provide accurate results. And 4. Actionable information. These DIY kits provide a reliable, cost-effective, and accessible way to assess the quality of your home's drinking water. Once you have the results, you can use them to decide whether it makes sense to pursue more comprehensive laboratory-based tests. From Woman's Day, nothing to sneeze at. Allergy season is almost upon us again, and seasonal ones can pose problems beyond itchy eyes and a runny nose. Research is mixed, but a recent data analysis suggests that having allergies may be associated with a rise in blood pressure and a greater risk of heart disease. The study looked at various types, hay fever, dermatological allergies, and allergies to pets and foods, not just the seasonal kind that take over spring and autumn. Need relief from sneezing and sniffling? Try these tactics. First, choose the right meds. Decongestants like Sudafed ease congestion by constricting blood vessels, including in the nose. This can raise blood pressure and make the heart work harder. An antihistamine like Claritin or a nasal spray is safer for the heart. Head outside after it rains. Rain washes pollen out of the air. That's great news for allergy sufferers. Whenever you can, plan walks or errands for right after a shower or storm to lessen your chances of having pesky symptoms take hold. And change your clothes. Pollen sticks to everything, so wear long sleeves and pants. Strip them off as soon as you come inside. Kick off your shoes and take a shower, too. Wearing sunglasses is smart to shield your eyes from particles that may cause irritation. And a last tip, you can download an app like Allergy Plus by pollen.com, pollen.com. It gives you pollen counts by zip code so you can plan your day like an allergy champ. From Woman's Day, a couple of great reads. First, The Candid Life of Meena Dave by Namrata Patel, P-A-T-E-L, a reclusive photojournalist who was interracially adopted as a baby, mysteriously inherits a home from a stranger and falls headlong into her own history. Delightful and poignant, this story is a fresh and insightful exploration of identity in America. And Dating Dr. Dill by Nisha Sharma, S-H-A-R-M-A. This enemies to lovers rom-com pairs a heroine who believes in soulmates with a hero too practical for such nonsense. The result is a laugh-out-loud romp that's a hot, hilarious, and heartwarming love letter to Indian American culture. From Magnolia, Into the Hands of Others. From kitchen to kitchen, hand to hand, the passing of cookbooks is the passing of stories. You're lucky my lambs were making Vienna pastries for dinner. I had held the old cookbook closed, then let it fall open on its own. The way you do when you want a surprise or some great sign, like what to make your family for dinner on a Tuesday in the middle of October. So you let the book open to whatever page it may, revealing those recipes most turned to or held down between bowl and spoon, as if invisible bookmarks are forever wedged between pages. And you land where other cooks landed before the book was yours. Their favorites, their go-tos and specials, their Vienna pastries. I don't know who started with the cookbook I now hold. Someone who liked pencils, fisherman's salad, doubling recipes, butter. When I cook from its worn pages, it's a tender thing, leafing through the tiny pen and ink illustrations, settling into its loose spine, its threaded seams, its edges now dark as molasses. What I feel is time, the awareness of collected years. A stack of vintage books is a stack of tried and true company, their faded coffee cup rings, their dripped Sunday batter, grandmother's handwriting in the margins, Dad's modified sauces and exclamation points. It's that kind of communication that puts the ground back under your feet and gives you something stronger to stand upon. Because we aren't alone, we aren't the first or the last. When you need this reminder, this weight of tenderness, this companionship, try opening an old cookbook. Follow someone else's trail and create a meal alongside those who cooked long before you. And from Real Simple, we have an easy dinner of herby peanut noodles. Active and total time are both only 20 minutes, and it serves four. It's also quick cooking, vegan, gluten-free, and family-friendly. Here's what we need. Half cup creamy peanut butter, quarter cup soy sauce or tamari, 3 tablespoons rice vinegar, 1 tablespoon toasted sesame oil, 1 clove of garlic grated, 1 16-ounce package rice linguine noodles, 1 cup chopped mixed fresh herbs such as chives, mint, basil, and cilantro, 1/3 of a cup chopped peanuts, chopped, roasted, salted peanuts, I'm sorry, and chili crisp for serving. Whisk peanut butter, soy sauce, vinegar, oil, and garlic in a large bowl until combined. Whisk in a quarter cup of water. The mixture should be pourable. Bring a large pot of water to a boil over high. Add the noodles. Cook, stirring often, until al dente, about 6 minutes. Drain and rinse with cold water until cool. Drain well. Then add the noodles to the peanut butter mixture, tossing gently to combine. Top with herbs, peanuts, and chili crisp, if using. From Woman's Day, cheese and herb stuffed chicken. Active time 20 minutes, total time 25, and it serves 4. We need 4 6-ounce boneless skinless chicken breasts, 4 tablespoons pesto, 4 tablespoons goat cheese, 1.5 tablespoons olive oil divided, kosher salt and pepper, 4 to 6 thin slices prosciutto, 1/4 cup small basil leaves, 12 ounces green beans trimmed, 2 large cloves garlic thinly sliced, 1 pint cherry tomatoes halved, 2 scallions thinly sliced. Insert knife into the thickest part of each chicken breast and move back and forth to create a 2.5-inch pocket that is as wide as possible without going all the way through. Using a spoon, divide the pesto and goat cheese among the pockets. Rub with 1/2 tablespoon oil, then season with 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Lay prosciutto slices on a cutting board and place a few basil leaves in the center of each. Place chicken on top and wrap prosciutto around the chicken, then place seam side down in an air fryer basket. Air fry at 375 degrees for 6 minutes. Toss green beans and garlic with remaining tablespoon of oil and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Move chicken to one side of the air fryer, then place green beans on the other side. Continue air frying until chicken is cooked through and green beans are just tender and slightly charred. Toss green beans with tomatoes and scallions and serve with chicken. And another from Woman's Day, peppercorn pork chops. Active and total time are both 20 minutes, and it serves 4. 12 Yukon Gold potatoes cut into 1.5-inch pieces, 2 tablespoons olive oil divided, kosher salt and pepper, 4 bone-in pork chops 1 inch thick, 12 ounces of green beans trimmed, 2 medium shallots chopped, 1 teaspoon fresh thyme leaves, 1/2 cup dry white wine, 2 tablespoons mascarpone cheese, and 1 teaspoon coarsely ground pepper. Heat oven to 425. On a large rimmed baking sheet, toss potatoes with 1 tablespoon oil and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Arrange in even layer and roast 15 minutes. Meanwhile, heat remaining tablespoon oil in large, oven-safe skillet on medium-high. Season pork chops with 1/2 teaspoon salt and cook until deep golden brown, 3 minutes per side. Toss potatoes with green beans, then nestle pork chops among them. Roast until potatoes are golden brown and tender, and pork is just cooked through, 8 to 10 minutes more. Return skillet to medium-low. Add shallots and thyme and cook, stirring 2 minutes. Whisk in wine, then mascarpone, coarsely ground pepper, and a pinch of salt. Simmer, scraping up browned bits, 2 minutes. Serve pork with pan sauce and vegetables. From Magnolia, tortellini soup. From start to finish, 20 minutes, and it serves 6. 1 tablespoon unsalted butter. 1/2 medium onion cut into 1/4-inch dice, 1 tablespoon minced garlic, 6 cups or 1.5 quarts chicken broth, 1 14.5-ounce can fire-roasted diced tomatoes undrained, 1/2 teaspoon Italian seasoning, 1 9-ounce package fresh cheese tortellini, 1 14.5-ounce can of cannellini beans, rinsed and drained, 6 cups fresh baby spinach, 2 tablespoons chopped fresh parsley, 2 tablespoons chopped fresh basil, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper, juice of half a lemon, which is about 1.5 tablespoons, 1 cup shaved Parmesan cheese, about 4 ounces, and a loaf of French bread for serving. Melt butter in a large pot over medium-high. Add onion and garlic. Cook 3 to 4 minutes until onion is soft, stirring constantly. Add broth, tomatoes, and Italian seasoning. Bring to a rolling boil. Add tortellini and beans. Cook about 2 minutes or until tortellini are cooked through. Turn off heat. Add spinach, parsley, basil, and salt, and pepper to taste. Squeeze lemon juice into soup. Ladle soup into bowls and sprinkle with Parmesan or top with cheese crisps. Serve immediately with cornbread for dipping. Store leftover soup in an airtight container in the refrigerator for up to 4 days or freeze for up to 2 months. Thaw the soup before reheating. And some easy energy snacks from Magnolia. No-bake fruit and nut bars. Prep time is 15 minutes, chill time an hour. It makes 9 bars. We need nonstick cooking spray, 1 cup raw shelled pistachios, toasted if desired, 1 cup dried strawberries or dried sweet cherries, 1 cup pitted whole dates, 2 teaspoons lemon zest, 1/2 cup coarsely chopped raw almonds, not blanched, 1/4 cup unsweetened flaked coconut, and 2 tablespoons cacao nibs. Line a baking sheet with a 10-inch square piece of foil. Coat lightly with cooking spray. Combine pistachios, dried strawberries, dates, and lemon zest in a food processor. Pulse 4 or 5 times to coarsely chopped fruit. Process 30 to 60 seconds or until uniform. Scrape down the sides of processor bowl and blade. Process 2 minutes or until mixture gathers together and forms a ball. It should not be crumbly. Transfer the fruit mixture to a bowl or clean work surface. Add almonds, coconut, and cacao nibs. Knead gently to incorporate. Pat mixture into a 7-inch square, about 1/2 inch thick, on prepared baking sheet. Chill about an hour. Transfer bars to a cutting board. Cut into squares or rectangles. Wrap bars individually in plastic wrap or layer unwrapped bars between sheets of waxed paper in an airtight container. Store in the refrigerator for up to 10 days or freeze for up to 3 months. And a seasoning blend, pumpkin pie spice. 2 tablespoons ground cinnamon, 1 tablespoon ground ginger, 2 teaspoons ground nutmeg, 1/2 teaspoon ground cloves, 1 teaspoon ground allspice. Use for your pumpkin or sweet potato pie and add to a latte or whipped cream. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latchaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ladies Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.